And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yes! Grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeeth here in the Classic Factory along with my fellow tribe members. Two guys who will be later going toe-to-toe naming Grateful Dead and Led Zeppelin songs. It's Trey Kirby and JD. What's up, gentlemen?
What's up? Wow. How many you got in you, Trey?
Well, it's all one song for the Grateful Dead,
that's
really.
That's true.
Interesting. They all just blend together. Yeah. We are here to recap episode 2 of Survivor 46, titled Scorpio Energy. I guess it was Ben that slipped that in.
Yep.
We were wondering, who's the Scorpio on the cast? It was Jeff Probst!
Jeff.
We didn't even think about Jeff! How do they know that?
Himself.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
always got a knife on him.
November 4th. Yeah, Scorpio energy with the knife, for sure.
That's a good point.
Absolutely. November 4th is his birthday.
Okay, there you go.
Nice.
Shout out to the Live Tribe joining us right now on YouTube. Take a second. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe, share the show with a friend. Podcast listeners, do the same, and leave us a 5-star rating and review on the platform of your choice, your Apples, your Spotify's, wherever you download. No Buffs. Okay, let's get into it, because another 2-hour episode. The boys were angry here in the
junkie,
this morning.
Junkie boy. Junkie
I think we
soup.
All agreed. Did we need 2 hours? There's some very funny moments.
For
some
sure.
Some great camp life.
Yeah.
But it did drag. Now, we all watched it live.
Yeah.
And maybe that played a part.
Maybe a mistake. Kind of a long week here for me as well. I was dead.
Even
speaking
Jeff
of dead,
tired.
Jeff is like
Jeff's
leaning.
Jeff's falling over.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez, watch that knife in your pocket, Jeff.
He's weighing him down.
What the hell's wrong
made
with
cardboard?
Probe standout. I don't know, man.
This guy hasn't slept in ages. Just laying him against the wall.
I'll just put him on the ground.
Oh, here he is. Okay.
Oh, no.
I'll just hold him.
Yeah, just hold him the whole time.
All right, let's put him here.
Yeah,
hey,
2 hours.
Up,
sorry, go on.
2 hours, you know, you're tired. I don't know. It felt draggy to me. But as you say, there's a lot of great moments. I don't know.
Well, we're done with 2 hours. We're back to 90 minutes.
90 is perfect
for me.
That's
90 is
a
great.
Like it,
it's
yep.
great. It's perfect. And again, with the if you're 26 days, 90 minutes for day 4 or whatever or an hour for or 2 hours for day 4, there's not enough going on. Really.
Okay.
So,
especially well, we only had one challenge, too. That's probably the most surprising part. Now, it was
a two-parter.
challenge.
Watch your head.
Yes, but still only one. Okay, so let's go through this episode, you know, basically scene by scene. When we start here, we'll go through each of the three tribes. Now, sometimes we see the tribe, and then we come back to the tribe. I'm usually lumping it together before we get to the actual challenge later on. But we start with Yanu, the purple tribe. It's day 4. I did note, Trey, Banu. He was in a purple sweater.
Yes, he changed. I saw.
Yes, the Be Kind sort of reddish purple shirt wasn't purple enough for Trey Kirby.
It was
last
not
week.
Purple enough, but I'll say even his Be Kind shirt is getting a little sun washed. It's becoming more pinkish, more fuchsia, blending in better. I thought.
Okay, well,
but I will say Be Kind is pretty ironic for this guy.
Oh yeah.
This guy's got no chill, man. Holy moly.
Yeah, no chill shirt would be perfect.
Yeah, he's meditating, I guess sort of ironic, to start this episode. He knows his tribe is super strategic. He thinks it is, at least. He asks Kenzie what he has to do to make the merge. Fascinating question to be asking someone on day 4.
Desperately asking as well. Like, not no chill, as you say, Trey. Like, what do I have to do to make the merge? It's day 4 again, but oh, God. Anyways.
Yeah. Kenzie tells us, man, this guy, he's a bad liar, which I guess you could look at as a positive in the game of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
yes,
that
for
you,
sure.
You probably know what he's thinking. It doesn't yeah. seem devious by any means.
No.
Back at shelter, though, we get Q and Tiff discussing how good Kenzie is at this social game. Look at her. Q says, I don't know why. I get a weird feeling. And at one point later in the episode, you think, maybe is Q gonna turn on her because mm-hmm. he has this bad feeling about her. They realize how good she is at this game, the social element of the game.
Yeah.
Spoiler, he doesn't, nor do they. They just vote out the girl that never sleeps. Eats ants and never sleeps. I'm talking Jess. But yeah, they lay the little groundwork here for the possibility, I guess, that maybe they could sort of turn on Kenzie. The group tries to create fire. They're struggling.
Yes.
They're feeling defeated. Yes. We definitely, Kenzie reaches her first holy shit, this is tough moment out there, right? Has a good cry, but her eyes are very blue after
great.
I cried.
They look so blue.
They really were popping.
Totally.
I was like, did they Photoshop that?
Like a little color correction?
Yeah,
there, just
right?
to highlight
what,
the
they
blue?
Get Zach Cox in here to do a little color correction on her eyes? Well, that was a joke for JD and maybe Matt Austin.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to this. But yeah, no, it, very popping blue eyes for sure. Maybe partly because the red was behind them as well because of the crying, but... They did seem to get bluer. Weird. I didn't know
she
that was a
it.
Thing.
Yeah. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah.
Maybe she's not alone, but...
imagine knowing how beautiful you are when you cry. You know what I mean? Like, I'm crying, I'm upset, but at least I look fantastic.
Yeah,
because right
usually you hear people say, I'm an ugly crier.
Yeah.
And she's like, God, I get hotter when I cry.
Exactly.
I was hoping to cry.
She's literally saying, check me out right now.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think these whole scenes were put in because in the future, there ain't no way this tribe is sticking together. Because you had Kenzie pitching to Banu and Jess turning on Q and Tiff.
Yep.
And then you had Q and Tiff saying, I don't know if we're going to be able to trust Kenzie long term. They obviously are losing a lot. Who
yeah.
knows if they'll ever get a win. But once they get to a big group setting, mm-hmm. it feels like they're going their own way. And probably only Q and Tiff are sticking together.
Yeah. When we come back after a commercial break back to Yanu here, we get Jess eating ants. Tiny ants. Very tiny ants. I mean, she's eating them because like no one else will talk to her.
Better than talking.
She said she didn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a conversation starter, Jess. I mean, like,
yeah,
you're standing over
very
there
true.
Eating ants. It's like, what are you doing over there, eating ants? Like, yeah, whatever.
They talk about speaking different languages. Mm-hmm. There's some, you know, a little camp talk here. We get Banu asking, what is rush hour? He's never seen rush hour.
Yeah. Well, you're in for a treat, Bonnie.
Rush Hour is good.
Rush
Hour, I haven't seen it for
fine.
A long time.
Rush
Hour is
good. Very good.
Yeah,
and that's what who said that they learned a little Mandarin. It was a Q.
Q, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
where he had picked up on some things. Yeah.
Rush Hour, baby. It is. If you go back and watch Rush Hour, it's definitely worth a rewatch. But there's a lot, like some of the every time Jackie Chan comes onto the screen, there's the stereotypical Chinese music, you know, or a gong goes off
right.
or something, and it's just like, this doesn't really hold up today, but it's worth watching.
What was the movie with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson?
Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai Noon, yeah.
I remember that being really funny.
Yeah.
Like, pretty
sure.
good.
Jackie Chan had a nice run, man.
Sure did.
It was off a wall into a backflip.
We then get Kenzie, Jess, and Banu. They take a walk to look for crabs,
mm-hmm.
but really they go to this cool little like archway point and they have a nice little hug and they talk about blindsiding, maybe those other two, you know, back at camp. And Kenzie tells the two of them, hey, don't tell Q or Tiff this. I mean, we could do something here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say she's throwing this out here and they are not picking it up.
Not at all.
Not really at
nah.
all. And
do
maybe
you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I mean, she maybe was a little too aggressive. On the other hand, it's like, I can't believe Jess wasn't like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. Let's why not us three?
She thinks that Q is her number one, doesn't she?
Yeah, they have something, yes. I mean,
she said
well,
post-get, like in her exit
yeah.
interview, that there was more of a relationship with Q than
yes.
anybody else
okay.
out
yeah.
there.
Right.
And then that's why Jess goes and throws Kenzie under the bus
mm-hmm.
to Q, And he takes that info in, but he's like, I don't know, she might just be throwing this out here because she sort of knows she's on the chopping block, yeah. And I don't know if I can really trust her, but he's like, he's unsure. So, and this, again, this is the start of the episode, and this is how this episode will ultimately end, sort of, is it going to be Jess, or is it maybe going to be a potential blindside of Kenzie or something like that?
Yeah.
What a tribe. I know we have a question in tree mail, is this maybe one of the worst tribes we've seen? They're a mess. Now, they don't have people quitting.
Yeah. I don't think it's as bad as last year. Right. But anyways, we'll get to that question.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's go to Nami, the orange tribe. Tevin is cracking up the tribe. He's mocking Probst and the game a little bit. Funny. I thought this was sort of funny. Doing, like, for today's challenge. Right. And, like, coming up with the most insane, like, things. Like, they had some weird, you know, fake challenges.
Yeah. Into the 40 feet down and find a screw.
Yeah. And then somebody says, but there's 200 nails. It's like, okay, you didn't need to add that part.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't loving the bits, but I like the concept.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
We're brainstorming.
Yeah.
We got Tevin and Soda talking about not trusting Venus. Soda says in a confessional, if no one trusts her as a number, she's not a number to me either. Which is sort of a cool line. Because she actually has somewhat of a relationship with her.
Yes.
A tiny bit.
She says she understanding. They tried to work together like day one, starting day one, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they're like, what, day four, five at this point. But yeah, my only note on this whole scene was just nobody likes Venus it kind of came down to, because eventually Soda's like, I can't talk to you today.
Yeah.
The whole day.
I'm busy. I checked my schedule and I
gotta go
cannot
find a screw.
Slip you in. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Venus knows what's going on. I mean, to give her credit, she's like, she's not oblivious. She's like, Tevin is the king of this tribe. Mm-hmm. Soda's right there with him. And yeah, she's afraid to talk to me and basically nobody wants to talk to me. She says, I feel like I'm not even worth talking to. I started to feel bad for her. We get her backstory. It's like, wow. Yeah, they really are just, they're just ignoring her. They don't want to deal with her. And there's like a montage of her just sitting in the shelter.
Right.
Around people, but no one appearing really to talk to her.
Yeah, right.
So she's in a rough spot. But when we come back to them after a commercial break, Venus, she's looking for the idol. But so does Randon. So does Hunter. And Randon finds the Beware Advantage, finds the box, right? Oh my God, it's complicated, he says. I like that. And he learns, look, I'm going to have to lose as a tribe a challenge before he can locate the key. This is obviously what happened to Tiff with the Beware Advantage, which was really a Beware Idol and this whole box thing. So before we get later in the episode to him telling, Venus, we get Liz talking in the third person.
Which she does constantly.
Constantly. It's so jarring.
Yeah.
And once again, she's talking about being an entrepreneur and sort of being rich and having these businesses or whatever. Like just the way she's going about it. In a confessional, we get her telling us she doesn't need the money. You know, so she's not only saying it to them.
Yeah.
She's telling us, the audience, like, I don't need this money. I just want to win the game.
Yeah.
And then we learn, and I guess this is the weirdest brag of all time, but we learn she's done 300 podcasts in the last 2 years. To which I say, big deal.
You're working half-time?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she was a guest.
Ah, that's true.
She was a guest on podcasts. And I did a little bit of a fact check. I searched Liz Wilcox in the Apple podcast.
Yeah.
I saw maximum 40 from last year.
Okay, decent number. Still.
A decent number.
Still a lot of appearances.
300? There could be 300, but God, there are a lot of podcasts out there about, and they're all the same topics, it seems like. How to maximize your email marketing or whatever.
Okay.
Spamming. She's the spam queen.
Yeah.
She calls herself the Fresh Princess of Email.
Holy. Okay.
I was 100% with Randon. Like, afterwards, he's like, something about this story doesn't add up.
Yeah, it's on. I will admit.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, she is a certified weirdo. There's no doubt about that. I mean, but I don't get the strategy of unless you're like, okay, guys, I'm rich, so take me to the end.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Rob
threw that theory out on his podcast last night with Jam Jam. Like, just like, yeah, why would you do this otherwise? Is she galaxy brain thinking? Well, if I just tell everyone I'm rich, they might keep me around because they'll never think someone would, you know, the group would give her the money.
Right.
That's a really a fascinating strategy.
She even says that in confessional, though, too, right? She's like, the money would better my life, but it wouldn't change my life.
Yeah.
That's in confessional. Like, that's not even the game.
She can't help herself. That's that's the bottom line, as far as I can tell. Like, she's just, this is how she is. She's so
rich. She's just
rich.
Out there getting 17 more emails. 18 if you count Probst.
She's just trying to.
That's what
up
I think she
numbers.
Was doing when the two were sitting out. Her and Mariah. Hey, what's your email? Can I get your email address real quick?
Let's go Mo11 at Gmail. All right.
She got the old Shane Black fake BlackBerry
on a rock or a piece of driftwood. Yeah, exactly. So Randon, to go back to him, he is trying to figure out who he should trust or who he can trust, and he wants to share this info with about the Beware Advantage thing. And he's like, I don't know if I don't think I can trust Liz. I can't give her my email. You know,
it's like talking to a billboard.
Yeah, that's right. So he ends up going with Venus, and she's ecstatic because she's down in the dumps. So finally, a little game talk here, and he's folding her in. How do you see this going? Were you going? What are you doing, Randon? Were you going? Good move. What's your take on this?
I think it's always smart to get with the person who's on the bottom. Caleb did it last season with Emily when it seemed like Emily was going to be the first one going home. Mm-hmm. But she stuck around and they went pretty far. Emily ended up doing okay. Randon seems like he's on the outs with the tribe as well. So I think pretty smooth to actually get somebody on your side, and especially somebody who's desperately looking for a connection.
JD?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure that I don't know. He seems to think that he's on the bottom. But you're exactly right, Trey. I mean, you go to the person who's on the bottom and you throw them a lifeline, and you saw how grateful she was. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, thank God, somebody is actually talking to me. Mm-hmm. I don't love the Randon sort of, she's hot. She's too hot, you know? Like, listen, Venus, I'm going to set my boner aside for a second, and let's team up together. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it reminds me of, who was the kid who was, like, tried to vote somebody out because, was it Hans's cousin?
Yeah, Brandon Hans.
Yeah. He was too horny for this one girl.
Too tempting.
You're too tempting, so I have to vote you out, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I got those kind of vibes from Randon. Let's call him Randy from now on.
I know.
It's a Randy.
But I don't know. I like them as an alliance. And, you know, you do need to have an alliance. I don't think he has to tell her about any of his advantage stuff.
I agree with that.
Yes, agree.
I think that could come back to bite him in the ass.
Yeah.
She even tells us. Now, she's talking about merge and all that. And I'll turn on them in a second.
Right.
And I believe it.
Yes.
She will.
But, you know, like TK said, smart of him, team up with her. Sure, why not?
Sure.
Especially if you feel you're also on the bottom, which he probably does looking at the tribe. Like, he's like, Tevin and Soda, they're running this thing. Hunter's, you know, this good old boy. Mm-hmm. Like, Liz is just getting emails left and right. She's really good at it, bit of a con artist. That maybe I'm also on the bottom, so team up with her. But yeah, I didn't probably need to tell her that. Builds trust with her.
Yeah.
But I think they could have just been like, hey, you could have bonded over, we're sort of on the outs here.
Yeah, let's just
team up. We're both looking for idols, so.
That's all she needed, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
so I wonder if she'll screw him moving forward, or maybe they'll work. Well, let's go to the green tribe, Siga. Day four here. Ben and Co, they start the fire. He cries, which is wild because he didn't even cry when he met Nicolas Cage.
What a line, man.
This guy. This guy,
what a line.
Two episodes in, yes, we've had 4 hours, but almost every line he says is some sort of musical reference.
Yeah.
He even at one point, in a backstory about his love for rock and roll, he says, I think I have this right, he says something along the lines of, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shred.
Yeah.
He said that, right?
Yeah,
he totally
said that.
He
definitely said that.
On purpose, I think.
Yes.
Not a misspeak.
No. It's amazing how many musical references this guy has jammed in.
Hold on. Was it a misspeak? Because he says shred so much that he just accidentally says
he's got shred, on
shred instead. Yeah, shred on
it. Yes. I don't think so. I think he's like, anytime I can say something musical, I'm just going to say it. Even if it makes the line make no sense.
You think Sifu was watching last night? He's like, oh, I got to meet this guy.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
They're probably going to be playing at the reunion. Oh. Sifu, Jay Maya. Ben, we brought you a guitar.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Turned out Sifu's actually pretty good on the guitar. I saw clips of him with Jay Maya. Like, he showed up at one of her shows. And
Do you think he's better than Ben?
I don't know. I haven't seen Ben play.
That's true. Tim talks to Mariah about having an extra vote. And, you know, the boys sort of have discussed about pulling her in. Then we get the Charlie's Angels meeting. Tim, he sort of feels on the bottom of both factions. Charlie and Mariah, they say they're the new Malcolm and Denise.
Mm.
Yeah, so we get flashbacks to season 25. Oh, my God. Over 20 seasons ago.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Also, Charlie... You are no Malcolm. Sorry. Sorry, man. I mean, it's early. It's early.
The idea being the older motherly figure and the young kid, but yes.
I think Maria is a fair comparison to Denise-ish, yes. But Denise was like super athlete as I remember. Like,
I remember her as a challenge
beast. Pocket rocket. Totally. Yeah. I think Mariah might be too, though.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
We don't know it yet. But I don't know. I don't think Charlie's a Malcolm, but we'll see what happens. But these people, they're comparing themselves to Survivor legends. I mean, come on, like, you know, relax. Learn something from Jelinski over here, right? Like, you're not a legend. You're not.
Yeah. But, okay, I like them teaming up here.
Me too.
I love that, like, they even talked about these alliances and all that. You need sub-alliances within these alliances.
Absolutely.
And we can decide where we want to go. We'll either go with the guys, we'll go with the girls. We don't need to decide right now. I love that thinking, too.
Yep.
And whatever direction we go, hey, it's you and me. That's smart.
For sure.
Good to be in the middle.
Very good. Very good. And she's got the extra vote, too, so they're sitting pretty right now.
And I guess she's okay with being a mom now.
Yeah.
Last bit of an episode.
Well, a lieutenant mom.
Yeah, a lieutenant mom.
Yeah, so so after the commercial with them, they're cooking up some saltwater papaya. And everybody has a nickname. Now, I'm going to save the nickname talk until tree mail because we have a great question about that. But I have a question for you guys because Charlie talks about being a nerd. But his three things that he lists that he loves are Taylor Swift, Star Wars, and Harry Potter.
Okay.
And it's like, I'm at the point, like, you're not a nerd if you like that stuff anymore.
Oh, you mean like the three biggest mainstream
pieces
of pop culture?
Exactly. Exactly.
Literally.
That's not nerdy anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's maybe not a nerd, because I'm sure there's other things he likes and enjoys that are maybe more nerdy. But yeah, not those three. Okay, good. Okay, I thought I was going to be alone in this, but I'm glad I'm not. Then we get Ben and Charlie playing the name song game.
Mm-hmm.
Metallica for Ben, Taylor Swift for Charlie. This goes on very long, like hilariously long.
Unbelievably long, I would say.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah, 107 to 106 is what the ending score was for Charlie.
And Charlie won.
Charlie won.
Okay.
He said it was just pure, pure fun. For him, maybe.
Sure. Maybe for Ben.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Me? I said I would have been all into that first, I don't know, 10 to 30 songs.
Right.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow, these guys really do
like,
know
I've
a lot.
I've heard of these Metallica songs. I know some of these.
But can you imagine them going for what I assume was another...
I mean, 100 songs.
I mean, I don't know, an hour? Like, I don't know how long they went, but a long time. And I would have been so tuned out, but you can't get up.
No.
You can't leave.
Yeah.
You can't be like, okay, guys, we get it. You got to just sit there. Like, if you're Tim, you just got to sit there and be like, wow, another one. Yeah.
Well, in confessionals, they seemed into it. So most of them, maybe not Jem.
Yeah, Jem was not totally
she was not
into
it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, at a certain point, if I'm naming Metallica songs, I'm making them up. Like, there's no fact checking. There's no like. And the other thing is, the only Taylor Swift song that I can name, and I don't even know if I have. We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
69. That came in at 69.
Well, this guy is a true sicko. I mean, I think he was literally like thinking of the album and just going,
just working
one through whatever 20 on that album, then I'll go to the next album. I mean, I think that's what was happening.
I think you're right, but
and I think that's what Ben was doing, and then he got himself in a tough position because he's like, I only listen to the good Metallica albums.
Right.
That was awesome.
He's like, then he was really struggling with the bad ones.
But here's the thing. Ben could probably switch over to like Van Halen. Charlie is a one-trick pony. It's like, there are other bands, he would say, you know, like There's not naming any other songs.
Yeah. You know? I couldn't believe they allowed Charlie to drop like basically a Taylor's version on one of them. He like named the same song, but it's like a different version.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
I thought he said All Too Well 10-minute version.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's a different song. It's literally a 10-minute version of a song.
But it has the same title?
I'm not Charlie, man. I do just know that song. It's a famous one about exes.
Okay.
Is that one about John Mayer? I don't know.
Okay.
But JD, what'd you think when Ben said that Metallica was the greatest metal band of all time?
I disagree. Iron Maiden is the greatest metal band of all time.
Okay.
It's like not even close. There is no Metallica without Iron Maiden, so I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He is a fake rocker. That's what I say.
Whoa. That would really hurt him.
I'm going to take him back to the wood shred.
All right, let's go to the immunity reward challenge. And I will admit, I missed for some reason that Prop said it was both challenges at first. I think just thinking it was a 2-hour episode where it was, I just at first thought it was a reward challenge.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it was like 45 minutes into the episode though, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, I was pretty far in, but still.
But yeah.
But you still had an hour 15 to go.
No, you're right.
And anyway, it ended up being long and it was for both of them. So they're playing for immunity, playing for reward. The other two tribes though, they come in, they're shocked. Jelinski is out. They can't believe it. And then man, we get diss after diss and we get some nice confrontation here between these tribes.
Totally.
That was awesome.
They are just firing it back and forth. It gets a little intense. So Hunter drops last name first out about Jelinski.
Brilliant line.
Oh man, that's a damn good line. Damn good line. Charlie piles on. There were several reasons you voted him out. That's good.
Great
too.
Line.
That's really good. Those are both really good. But yeah, you know, and then it gets a little weird. It's like there's talk about food and Banu starts talking about Gandhi and it takes a weird pivot after the fun trash talk about Jelinski.
Absolutely takes a turn for sure. It was sort of with the house of food, but what she got set off by something else that Q said or
Q
like
said
she's
something.
Like they started it. I'm like, hold on, no, you guys started it.
Yeah, what he said something like when we were at sixes they won, let's see how our five compared to their five.
That's not mean at all. That's like literally just a fact. Let's see how we do here with five.
I did think he was getting heated though. Q looked upset and Banu obviously looked upset, so they picked the right tribe to talk trash to.
Totally. They were just poking them. And then Propes gets the idol back and they've put on a little, basically a little orange buff, little headband on that thing.
Yeah.
Propes ain't having it. Whips out the knife, little pocket knife, cuts it off.
Always you call that a knife?
Would you, if you were on Siga, if you were on Yanu, would you be offended by another tribe, the winning tribe, showing up with the idol, marking it basically as their own?
Yeah. I would be.
You would be, okay.
100%.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the audacity to fuck with the idol at all. Have a little respect.
Right. It was. It's really one challenge. Yeah. It's not like you've won 10 in a row.
Exactly.
Here. It's a good point.
Yeah.
They end up calling their shot, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
So, okay, and what about you? You would have been like, hey, what the hell? Trey Kirby wouldn't have liked that, right? I mean,
I would have been like Q and Banu. I would have absolutely gotten heated. You could easily push my buttons, and I also would have put the headband on.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, yeah.
You would have. That's a good point. So anyway, we find out we're playing for fishing kits. Obviously, one large one to the winning team, a smaller one for whoever comes in second. So we start this thing up. You know, I'm not going to go through it sort of piece by piece here, but there's some chopping and getting the wheels and putting together the thing and moving these giant heavy crates that have the puzzle pieces. The two people sitting out, like we said, it's Mo and Liz just talking to each other during this. There was something very
was
funny
so
about
moment.
Them just, you know, legs crossed, again, sort of looking like each other. We talked about their appearances and just, they even went back to them in the challenge just to check in on them.
A great music drop as well.
Yeah.
Like, it was just intense music as it usually is in the challenge, and then just dun, 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 dun. It just goes just dead silence and then just, hey, so what's your name?
So, you know, it's pretty close, the actual racing part, through the obstacle course. Venus will get her toe run over, and you know, she will be very upset about that a little bit later. But we get to this puzzle, and they got to build a very tough, like, archway puzzle with these really heavy blocks, and you got to hold it up there, and then obviously be able to let it go, and it has to spell persistence on both sides. And it is just absolute chaos.
Yeah.
And at one point, just I wrote in my notes, visceral screaming. People just screaming at others and just in agony from trying to hold it and get this piece and all this. I was laughing so hard. And they milked this for so long that Probst, like, I mean, we go to commercial break. Oh. It would have been great if Probst said, we'll be right back after a commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
They're not going to finish this.
Nami actually at one point get it. It's standing, but they don't have it right on both sides. Mm-hmm. So now they got to start all over. But yeah, when we come back, we get like a trauma edit. It's like slow-mo and everybody freaking out and dropping the pieces. In the end, though, Nami wins. Siga comes in second. And Yanu, the damn mess that they are, lose again. And everybody's wondering, wow, Jelinski, he may have helped in this one.
Yeah.
Okay, his height, for sure.
Helpful in the middle.
He tweeted about his wingspan.
7 feet.
The counter to whether he would have helped is, he might have just quit like after he dropped the block two times.
We're not going to finish this.
We're never going to finish this. So, yeah, do I think he would have helped more than he would have hurt? Probably. Just having some height to hold these things up. But what did you think of the challenge? I thought it was a great one.
I love the challenge. I thought it was very difficult. And though just like, I was questioning myself, how do you spell persistence? Because like, I think I would have messed that up.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was great. I loved the Banu just losing his shit on Jess. Like, it's just like, as you say, like, no chill. He's like, namaste. Jess! Namaste. You know. I mean, can you imagine if this guy didn't meditate?
He'd be a killer, man. That's a good point.
Yeah, it was great. It was great fun. I did, coming back from the break and the trauma edit, as you say, I legit rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, come on. Like, okay.
So, same. I was like, oh, this is ridiculous.
This is cringe right now.
No, I love the irony of having to have persistence on that puzzle. Yeah. I had to keep going. I know I have this note wrong. There's no way that Jeff actually said this about the puzzle pieces. That'll break a toe, scrape off a face.
Scrape up a face.
Okay.
But yeah, he did like, say that.
Whoa, easy, man. I mean,
there was a couple blocks.
I'll tear your face off.
It was cool to see a puzzle that is obviously the great equalizer usually in these things. But I like that it was still so physical.
Totally.
That was the cool part. Yeah. I mean, you know.
You didn't need the wheelbarrow and everything else.
Just
really.
Go straight
just
to it.
The puzzle.
I mean, honestly, you didn't really need it.
Tired them out, of course.
Yeah, fair.
But
fair.
Yeah, what an obstacle that was, and what a puzzle. So Yanu, absolutely devastated. They're pissed off. I think Jess thinks Tiff is going to spank her back at camp. I believe she said that. I wrote that in my notes. So they're just down in the dumps. And, you know, Tiff is trying to keep it together and all that. We do see and check in with Nami on day five. They're pumped about the fishing gear. But Venus is pissed off about them running over her toe. And she is sort of playing the victim to Soda, and you know, Venus is also pissed about Soda always grabbing the idol. Though she sort of showed some restraint this second time, like she goes to grab it and then sort of leaves it.
Well,
but Venus said she'll flip it the merch.
Did she leave it, or did, like, I don't think Venus was giving it up.
Right,
that was what happened.
Because the first time they won, Soda just straight up yoinks it from her.
Yeah.
This time Venus is giving it again.
She, like, turns to give it away behind.
Yes.
And Randy's like, oh, you keep it.
Yeah.
You keep it.
Yeah. It was weird. It was, like, a weird
It was
moment.
Weird. It was a little awkward.
Yeah.
But she's really pissed off because her toe got ran over. But, like, I was honestly, like, if I was all these other people on her tribe, I'm like, what are you talking about?
100%.
You were standing there. Like, why were you standing there? Is that part I could not figure out. What were you doing?
She was just the front of the... Then, barrow.
Yeah, then
get out
in
of the
front.
Way.
Yeah. She was like on the side just yelling left, left, left.
Well, that's where Jess was as well, and she got out of the way, but then that made Tiff furious about that because she's just looked up and she's pushing and Jess is just walking around.
But I didn't understand why anyone was in front. Because
I don't know either.
Once they cleared the bags.
Yeah.
You didn't. It's not like the people pushing the cart couldn't see to go left or right. I didn't understand why you needed directions. Yeah. You're just literally getting in the way to me. But maybe they were helping pivot at the front. I guess.
It looked like a tight squeeze. So, anyways, yeah.
She was very upset about that toe.
Yeah, that's what it came down to. Yeah. To me, was like Nami hasn't had to do anything but show up in challenges. So for any sort of drama coming from that tribe, somebody's just got to be upset. And it's Venus right now because nobody's listening to her and she got her toe ran over. So I can understand being upset. And I would also be upset at Liz screaming through the entire challenge.
Oh, God, yeah. God. Nora was not a fan of that. Nor was myself or anyone, I don't think. Yep. Yeah,
I was wondering if Jeff was going to pipe up.
Yeah. It's like, you're going to mess up this sound edit, like, honestly.
Yeah. That's true. Cut her mic.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, look. Venus, you're just going to have to get over it. It's not like you broke it or anything because you would have had medical look at it.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed to be news to everybody that she got run over by the thing. And she just has that personality. If she feels wronged, then that's it. Like, yeah. She's just like, shuts down and like, you guys do your thing. I'm going to sit here and sulk. That's not how you win Survivor. That's not how you play Survivor.
Mm-hmm. For a team kicking ass in challenges, I mean, we are getting a lot of Venus.
Yeah,
you know, these last two episodes. So it's like, what's going to happen there? As soon as they lose, she's gone? Or is she, you know, now with this Randon thing, she's talking about flipping at the merge, she mm-hmm. says. Like, is she in this for the long run here? Because we're getting a lot of her.
Yeah.
Early, at
least.
That's true. Let's go to Yanu, though. You know, got to talk about plotting and scheming here. It's day five. It's the Purple Tribe. They have lost. Tiff breaks down crying. She says it's not because they lost, but more because she did lose control in front of everyone. Kenzie goes to her. They talk at the well about maybe Jess being the next vote. Let's not overthink it. And then we get this whole flashback thing of Kenzie and Tiff making a fake idol, and they are going to hope that Jess will find it. They're going to lead Jess to it, or they think they are. Have her find this fake idol. Have her play it. Think she's safe, basically, so she doesn't play the shot in the dark.
Right.
They try and lead her to it. She gets distracted by ants. She doesn't find it. So now they're like, well, what do we do? Q knows about this whole plan. So he's like, just give it to me. I'll just go give it to her. I have some relationship with her. And I'll just tell her who to vote for.
Right.
Okay, all of this to say, why did they need to do all of this?
I know.
To get out Jess? I get
a shot in the dark, Skeets.
I know, but I think you could have done a lot less work and probably still had her not play her shot in the dark. Spin a Banu, you know, tail or whatever. Like, this guy's crazy. No chill. Let's just vote him. Like, whatever.
Especially from Q's perspective, like, he's her number one. If she rolls a shot in the dark, you just vote out Kenzie,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
it seemed
from
like
his
from his perspective.
Well, I got really excited for 1 second when Q suddenly goes, he sort of tells us, you know, I'm going to give this to her. I'm going to tell her Kenzie.
Yeah.
I could just vote out Kenzie right now.
Yeah.
With Banu. He's with me. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay, this is a nice move. This is an exciting move. You're using their own fake idol and you're going to literally spin it on her. But that's not what happens.
No. I mean, he couldn't go against his actual number one, which seems to be Tiff.
In Tiff. Because he even talked about, like, I feel like I should talk to her first about this. And maybe he did, and maybe they talked it out, and we're like, okay, we'll just vote out Jess. But, yeah, what do you think of this whole scheme here that was weird?
It just seemed like they were doing too much and playing too hard, too fast, but there's a lot of hours to kill out there. Some of them are going to do it by kill the time by naming Taylor Swift and Metallica songs. Others are going to make fake idols and try and lead a horse to water.
Yeah.
But she wasn't thirsty.
No,
she's totally tired. Underestimated how little she wanted to look for an idol. Like, she's like, I guess we'll go. I know you were just furious at me for this challenge, but you want me to go search for an idol with you? Okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyways.
Yeah, Kenzie tells us, you know, Jess and Banu, they do not know how to play Survivor. I think she's probably right, or they don't have the energy, or whatever.
Yeah.
Jess starts to wonder, though. I'll give her this. I don't know, this idol that Q gave me, it looks like every adornment on all these other water bottles.
But she lost hers, so she couldn't check.
So she's a little unsure. So Jess goes to Tiff. She throws out some feelers about who to vote for. You know, Tiff does the right thing. I think it's like, okay, let's just do Banu. That's what she tells her, right? But then Jess tells Banu they're targeting him, so he's freaking out. It's a mess again. But I will say I like Q explaining how he's in the middle perfectly because of all of this stuff going on here.
Yeah.
And I loved it. He broke it down so well, I thought. He says in a confessional, you know, I could keep Jess. She'd be a loyal number, but I have to babysit her.
Yes.
Or, you know, Kenzie, what I like about her, she's a self-starter. She'll go to the other side when we make a merge. She'll probably bring in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But will they benefit me? You know, Q. Right. She'll be right. Good at that, but will it actually help me? Amy just broke it down perfectly. And in the end, he didn't want to babysit.
Yep.
He's like, nah, I guess I'll go with Kenzie. And a part of this equation is obviously Tiff, too, who he is tight with. So, yeah, we go to Tribal Council. Just keep this moving. Propes jokes about Banu feeding the tribe a part of his flesh. Remember that little moment? Because Banu had cut himself.
How about that moment?
Yeah.
A little
Jess
odd.
Is like, I wish.
Kenzie talks about having to decide, you know, who you can play the game with long term. They're thinking long term here. Jess tells Kenzie that she's going to eat each other moving forward. So she tried playing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starting to throw Kenzie under the bus a little bit. But anyway, this Banu then just pops off. He just like loses it. Just goes crazy, man. And his own alliance or people, he's just telling him to relax. Like, you're doing this now for the second one in a row, really. Like, you're tipping your hand / our hand. Like, they're just spooked. Like, what are you doing? Jess is, she'd be silly not to play the shot in the dark, I guess, now. But she does have this fake idol, which she's maybe holding on to hope. But what do you think of him going a little wild?
Well, I think it kind of proved Kenzie's point from earlier in the episode where she's like, he's a bit of a wild card because that's what it seems like. He's just going to perhaps spill the beans when they get to Tribal Council. He basically lays out us four together are against you, Jess, which is what he did pretty much the exact same thing in the previous Tribal Council where he's like, we're getting Jelinski out of here. Let's go vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to explain to him. The problem is going to be going forward if you do this with people that we're not working with. He's like, right. So let me come over there and check on who we're voting on. Don't make the block hot. Okay, I take what you're saying. I'm just going to go check with one more guy.
Yeah, I'll check with you.
Yeah. I just got to talk to everybody.
Yeah, he almost talks with everyone in his alliance again about what are we doing? How are we voting? What did we talk about before? I don't know if like he had like almost like a blackout moment when he got all fired up and like, what is the plan again? And I mean, well, then he gets one vote from Jess.
Yeah.
He starts packing up.
I'm out of here.
And it's like, whoa, man. That's usually a good sign on Survivor.
Yeah.
That your name's up first here because it's the person who's actually going home. But Jess plays her fake idol. Obviously plays it for herself. Nope. Mm-hmm. And she's voted out 4-1.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's Banu. From Jess's perspective, she was obviously going after Kenzie. That was sort of what she was told. We're going to go after Kenzie. She threw her under the bus saying, you're going to eat everybody at the end.
Right.
So that was decent gameplay. But then I think Banu, he tells us his emotions are his strength, and then he completely blows up his game and everybody's game using his emotions. So I think that Jess was like, there must have been sort of like, let's get this guy out tonight.
Yeah,
and
so
then
you
that's
think she switched her vote.
I think that's why she didn't play the shot in the dark.
Right.
And she was just like, okay, if everybody's going after Banu, like he's an obvious vote right now. He is not somebody we should have around.
Right.
It was just like hope for her. So anyway, she voted Banu. Everybody else votes Jess, and she leaves.
Do you have any faith in Banu being able to like tone it down, sort of learn the game a little bit, the idea of like keeping some secret, or will this never change for him? If you had to pick.
I mean, if I had to pick, I would guess that it's not going to change.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, you can go Alligabler. He had a crazy couple of first episodes, and then he just went completely under the radar, and it was all good.
Yeah.
There's no Caleb around. They got rid of the Canadian to say, hey, man, you gotta rein it in, man. But I don't know if he's able to. I just think that's just the way he is.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Which, I mean, then begs the question, did they make the right decision?
Well, I think they might be able to win in the next challenge.
Yeah,
yeah. Because Jess, you know, as you say, she hasn't slept, so she's kind of useless out there.
Right.
That to me was the main reason I thought they voted out, and I think that probably be Q's biggest reason was like,
yeah,
Jelinski didn't quit the first time through, and then Jess was no help in the physical part of the challenge. We can't keep losing here. She didn't play her shot in the dark because she's ready to go home, is what I think. That's what she basically said in her exit interview. She claimed she hadn't slept for 10 days.
Like before the game, yeah, right?
She was getting too excited.
So she's saying she didn't sleep before she actually started the game Survivor. Jeez, that's not, you don't want to come in sleep deprived into it.
I mean, how can you sleep the night before you're going on Survivor? You know what I mean? I would be able to sleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe the 3 days prior you would still be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like as soon as she found out she was going to be on Survivor 46, this woman did not sleep.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty right.
It's a bold strategy. All right, let's take a break. That's the entire episode. But when we come back, lots more about this episode in Tree Mail. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
So about an hour ago, Joe tweeted at us, does Jelinski crack the top five basketball playing Survivor players? Uncle Cliff, Scott, obvious choices. They were NBA players.
Yep.
Caleb, Wu, ? And Jelinski himself responded to Joe on Twitter, I'm definitely in the top five. So he's confident about that. Wu had game. Wendell is a pretty good hooper.
Yeah, he plays. Yep.
He plays. There's got to be maybe a handful of other ones, but Jelinski could be top five.
Sure.
Yeah.
Several foot wingspan.
That's right.
Does Jeff Kent play? I mean, he was a professional athlete. Like, if you're a professional athlete, are you good at the other ones? Sometimes.
Something tells me Jeff Kent hates basketball.
Definitely the modern NBA.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, he would have loved it in, like, 1940s for sure. All right, let's get into Tree Mail. Okay, first one. This is just a comment. Nice comment here from Lisa. I don't know if you would consider this a compliment or not, but I was able to listen to your podcast while undergoing a biopsy, and it helped me get through it. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Hopefully it went okay.
Hopefully it comes back negative.
It's an absolute compliment.
Of course.
You were there. You were listening to us. We were right there in the room with you. Talking about Jelinski. But we appreciate it. Hope everything's okay. Okay, next one here. We got a question. It's from ING Roberto. It's just two episodes, but is this Yanu tribe the worst tribe ever? Even compared to last season's Lulu, who had two quitters, this Yanu tribe lacks camaraderie, and no one is really as charismatic as 45's Caleb. Good old Canadian boy. Mm. Tribe switch incoming. So two parts there. Is this the worst tribe ever? You sort of already said, JD, you didn't think so.
Last year, Brandon was on that shitty tribe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
he like puked and passed out before they even got on the island. He
struggled with a ladder.
Yeah. What's her face quit?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Just
her
Hannah?
Name. Hannah.
Yeah, needed a cigarette.
For nicotine.
Yep. Needed a cigarette.
I mean, no, at least there's no quitters. I like Tiff. I think that the players are interesting. I like Q a lot.
Yeah.
I think Kenzie's great. It's only been two challenges as well. I mean, if they lose the next one, okay, maybe they're in the conversation for top five, but we had a what was Stephanie LaGrosa and Bobby John.
Oolong.
And then Bobby John gets eliminated and it was just, she was a tribe of one.
Yeah.
They lost all eight tribal immunities.
That's pretty bad.
That's amazing.
That's the worst tribe ever.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's incredible. Let's not forget though, Sean did quit as well, and he was on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that tribe last year.
Yeah,
which he was the second quit.
Right.
But so that's bad. That's worse.
I think that's way worse.
I mean, you can unfortunately be bad in some of these challenges and puzzles and stuff like that, but to straight up quit, come on.
Yeah.
And then tribe switch incoming. So last year, for an example, a lot of losses for that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after, was it the third episode, they did do a tribe switch.
In the third episode.
I think after. Was it in the third or the fourth?
I'm not asking. I don't know.
It was early. It was early. So, yeah. I mean, I think that would happen again if, yes, Yanu loses again.
Right.
And a Banu goes home or a Kenzie goes home or whoever goes home. I think you almost have to.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't, depending on if another tribe loses next week.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they usually like to switch it up here in the first couple. So we'll see. Any additional thoughts there?
Concur.
Okay. The Plunge Father wants us to rank the Sega nicknames from best to worst, okay? We've got six nicknames. We've got Ben as Benevolence. We've got Charlie as Tarzan. We've got Jem as Jungle Jem. We've got Mariah as Lieutenant Mom. Maria. Yes, Lieutenant Mom. Salute. Mm-hmm. Tim, Papaya Papa. And Mariah as Moschetti. So she must be good with that.
Yeah.
Moschetti. Okay. So Benevolence, Tarzan, Jungle Jem, Lieutenant Mom, Papaya Papa, and Moschetti. Make your vote for the best, or even top three of those six.
Okay.
TK, you go first.
Well, I like Jungle Jem because it's like Jungle Jem, mm-hmm. but still Jem.
Yes.
Right. She loved it.
She loved it.
She
I thought that was good.
It, didn't she? Didn't she come up with it?
Maybe.
I thought she did.
Yeah. Because
they had done everybody.
Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't realize. I don't know if she was just saying something that somebody had said before, if that was like, "Here's what my nickname will be."
Okay.
I thought that was good. I also liked Benevolence for Ben.
Yep.
I liked the way he delivered it. I don't know why. It sounded like he was saying Maleficent.
Yeah,
but this is like the opposite of that. So I thought that was good. And then Papaya Papa's kind of
That's a good one.
Yeah,
and Tim seemed to really like that.
Yeah.
One. He's like, that's a good one, when they were cooking up the saltwater papaya.
They're like, you always shave it off, man. You're Papaya Papa.
You're right.
All right. You agree with those top three?
No.
You want to make a case for anyone else?
Okay. Lieutenant Mom is at the very top. I love a rank of a rank. You know what I mean? Mom is kind of already like
point.
The top of the top, but you're like, it's like Lieutenant Colonel, you know? Like Lieutenant Mom.
Yep.
Also, I love that she didn't want to be a mom. But she's 100% mom brand all the way.
Yeah, so much for that.
I don't get Tarzan. What was that for? Like, just,
I mean, you almost wonder if it was something we didn't see.
Right, has to
was
be.
Was he swinging around out there from tree to tree at one point? I don't know, because that does not seem to fit his character.
No.
Why wasn't it Charzan?
Yeah.
True.
These other ones are like puns.
This team is not.
Sounds very Pokemon.
Yeah.
Charging.
I don't know if he's into that. It's a nerd thing, too, I heard.
That's definitely a nerd thing. Sorry, guys. Papaya Papa, I like. I like Moschetti. I like it.
Yeah.
Especially if she's good with it.
Better than Slow-Mo.
Slow-Mo, yeah. Better than Slow-Mo.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're all not terrible.
They're not terrible.
Yeah, okay. Good stuff there. Plunge Father. That's better than all of them, if you ask me. Matt B., what's the band or artist that you can name the most songs they've recorded? I am so bad at song names.
Yeah, same.
Like some of my favorite artists of all time, I'm brutal. I could probably name like three.
Yeah.
But know the songs of like, you know, 50 to 100 songs, but I just don't know.
Yeah, straight really up bad. Titles is tough.
I'm terrible at it. Some people are good at it.
You can sing a lyric, maybe.
Yeah, right. But if you had to pick, TK, who would you pick?
I probably know the most Beatles song titles.
Okay.
Same.
But not 100.
No.
No way.
Oh, my God.
Like 30.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah, I think my instinct was Beatles as well. But as you say, like there are Beatles songs that I know off by heart, but I don't know what they're called.
I know. It's a weird phenomenon.
Like Norwegian Wood, I just looked that up. Like, that's the name of that song? Norwegian Wood. Anyways, yeah. But I would say Beatles is probably my best. Zeppelin, maybe.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe. But you got to pick an artist that has a lot, like a big catalog. Yeah. Oh, a lot of hits.
For sure. I would love to know Matty O from Is This Good. That guy is really good when it comes to song lyrics, song titles, albums. Like, he just absorbs that info.
Yeah.
I feel like Matty O would pick maybe the Beatles too. I don't know why, but maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think my point is, I think Matt, of all of us, I'd feel confident he could maybe go toe-to-toe for a while with Charlie and Taylor Swift and Ben and Metallica.
I think you're right.
Right?
Yep.
Do you think you could name 100 NBA players going back and forth, no repeats? So you'd have to
know 200, repeats is tough. Basically. And it actually crossed my mind. I was like, who's keeping track of them not saying the same song title? I'd like to think I could. If somebody was keeping track, like, hey, you already said that, and I could say somebody else or whatever.
You could.
Yeah.
I think
100,
you could.
Yeah. If anyone.
NBA players?
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of people have made the joke. This was the equivalent of guys hanging out, having a beer, maybe by the fire, just naming players.
Remember Jeff Blauser?
It was a problem.
We used to name ex-colleagues.
Oh, that's a go-to for us. Yeah. That's one of my favorite games we've ever played.
Totally.
People we worked with.
There's hundreds. There's hundreds in the catalog.
And we have a nickname for every single one of them, basically.
Pretty much.
I'd love to see you guys go score for versus Turner.
Oh, God.
Naming employees.
Damn. Wow. Damn, that'd be tough. Wow. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, we'll have to play that one day. Yeah. We'll play it on playback. Join us on playback. We just name a bunch of people we used to work with.
Naming people you've never heard of. Yeah. Well, some of you might have heard. Shaq, for example. We worked with Shaq.
Okay, next one from Sean here. So Jeff is always just carrying a switchblade in his back pocket. I know Jeff said he wanted to be meaner, but damn. Yeah, we already made the joke about him having the blade there, and he's now twice pulled out a knife or used a knife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he cut the rice a couple seasons ago. I don't know when that was.
That last season?
I think it was last season.
Oh, wow. Man, it feels like three seasons ago to me.
Which was meaner? The bandana cut off or the rice?
Oh, I'd say rice.
Right, probably rice.
Wasn't that more of a move? But I will say, you know, going in, we had joked or read that he was, like, going to be a little more tough on these people.
Yeah.
At Tribal Council so far, I think he has been.
Yeah.
You know, calling them out a little bit.
He called out Banu this episode for basically being like, you keep blowing up your tribe's alliances. Yeah. Are you going to keep doing this?
Yeah.
Even to the point where he's like, I don't think I'm blowing up your game because you're doing this.
Yeah, right. And that's the delicate balance here. Like, he probably wants to do it a lot more, but it is still a game, and you know things that maybe they don't know. So it's like, you can't sort of say, hey, in confessional, you said you really hate that dickhead. Let's speak about that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think he is. I think he's trying to, like, probe a little bit
feels
more.
Feels like it. It feels like he's irritated by, certainly the Nami, or sorry, the Yanu tribe. You know what I mean? Like, Jelinski was sort of like a complete dolt, and that irritated him. Banu blowing up his game, that irritates him. Like, as we go here, because he said this after he'd already shot this whole thing. He's like, I fucking hate these people. You're going to see a salty Jeff.
I mean, I think what's going to happen here is, wait till we get Liz Wilcox versus Jeff Probst.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. We're going to see what else is in those pockets.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? He's got a lot of them.
That could get spicy. It's true. He does. Here, let me get this email for you real quick. Here you go, Liz. All right. Final one here. Well, this is perfect. Joe wrote in, the producers have spent a lot of time showing us clips of Liz talking about how much money she has. It's baffling from a gameplay strategy whether she is lying or telling the truth. What do you think this is leading to? Maybe Probst giving her a middle finger at Tribal Council.
I would love that. I would love that
but,
so much.
Yeah, I guess we've touched on this, but it is worth exploring again. What's going on here? What's the move? What is the move from Liz Wilcox telling everybody she's rich and she's an entrepreneur and she doesn't need the money? And again, whether is this some sort of strange gameplay or is it just her?
I think it's self-promotion. I'm on a massive platform here, and I'm just telling everybody how rich and successful I am. So sign up for my whatever service, the email spam or whatever.
So maybe she's even said all that, but they cut that part out.
Maybe. But yeah, I don't know. It would be kind of cool if she was like, you know, if she got to the end and she was like, I don't know. I'm rich, but if she somehow convinced them.
Yeah, yeah.
Liz is rich,
if it
guys.
Turns out it's like, I did this because I knew you would probably take me along because you're thinking I'm an easy person to sit by at the end. They'll never give me the money. I mean, that'll be fascinating. It's sort of like a version of we always want someone to come in here, Kaiser Soze, this whole thing. It's like a version of that.
Right.
Which means it won't be happening.
Right.
She's just a weirdo.
Yeah, but what? But she reveals at the end, actually, I'm not super rich. They're like, oh, so you've been lying to us for 3 weeks?
Oh, so no, she's poor. You're saying she's poor.
I think we're more thinking she tells everyone she's rich, which she maybe is, uses it as strategy. Hey, I kept telling you this because I knew you would take me. And then, yeah, not at the end says, I'm actually poor. I need the money. But it's just like, this was my game plan. This was like, it worked on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then whether that would still even work.
Okay.
I still don't think it would work. It's just such an easy vote. It's like, well, I don't feel bad about voting you out at all. Like, sometimes the deeper you get, there's all this consternation about, they never told me. It looked so easy on TV. I didn't know it would be making emotional attachments. But she is so easy to vote out. I can't wait for her to get voted out just to see the look on her face. You know what I mean? Like, she's... I'm so irritated by her for 10 minutes maximum in the comfort of my own home. I can't imagine being out there with her. Like, anyway, I know you're telling me you're rich. Get the fuck out of here.
See you, Liz.
I hope she's around for a while. There's something very funny about her just pissing people off. That's what everyone's just baffled. Why would you ever go and play that strategy?
I know.
Whether you're lying or not, it's a weird move.
Right.
Within like seconds of getting out there, she was bragging.
Well, especially if you've watched the show for 20 years like we have, you can like remember Gary Hojboom or whatever that guy's name was. Like a quarterback no one has ever heard of. He's like, I can't let people know I played in the NFL in the 80s. Like he's got a ton of money from being a backup quarterback in the 80s, but people would think that, right?
Right.
And they see you later.
Yeah.
Well, what did we talk about?
Flip side.
What did we talk about all last season? They were like, can't tell anyone I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, a part of that is, you're slick and whatever, smart. Yeah. But like another part of it is, you know,
you make money.
You make money.
Yeah.
You make money, more money than a teacher or something like
totally.
That.
Totally. Yeah. That's a podiatrist. I can't tell anyone I'm a podiatrist.
That's right. How much money there is in feet?
The only profession you can be honest about is marketing, email marketing.
Yeah,
you gotta let them know.
I have to. I gotta be upfront with you.
Not only am I rich, but I am in the worst business there is. The most irritating thing in your life, that's me.
You know when you click unsubscribe, it does nothing. It actually makes you subscribe to more things. Now, these are the secrets I am willing to share with you. All right. Anyway, check out
I'm
my
the person
podcast.
Who mails yellow pages to you every year. I'm loaded. Keep me around. You like those yellow pages?
Good questions, guys. Great batch of cues. We got to take one more break in today's No Buffs. When we come back, we'll look at how we did in the No Buffs Fantasy Survivor Pool and make some predictions as to who's going home next week.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Still here in the Classic Factory, we got to look at our results from our No Buffs fantasy pool. Though I will say, during the break, we made a business decision. We went to Liz Wilcox's website.
Yeah.
Thank you to, I believe it was Heather here in the live tribe pointing it out, directing us to it. It's something. It's bright. It's colorful.
A lot of 90s references.
Yeah. It's she sort of speaks in sort of cool slang.
And I signed up for our course.
Oh, so we're gonna gonna use it for No Buffs. We're gonna grow the No Buffs subscribers
from friend to follower to customer, the Liz Wilcox way.
Simple AF.
Simple AF.
All right,
that's a quote. That's a quote
from
website.
Her website. Go check it out. It's it looks like the Peach Pit. Her website. Yeah. It's definitely very 90s. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So how did everybody do when it came to making your picks? How's your team doing? And did everybody successfully have Jess as one of the people to go out? You did.
I did.
Indeed. I did. And I'm guessing JD did not, because, correct me if I'm wrong, you had Jess to win the whole damn game.
Yep. That was my pick for the entire winner of the game. Now listen, I was all hopped up on National Pride.
Yeah.
And I was relating to Jess. I knew, I saw myself in her right up until the very end, to be honest. I mean, I get like that when I can't sleep. I like to eat bugs and, you know.
You're eating bugs all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I did not pick her. I put double the points on Liz to go home.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that backfired. Anyway, I'm 2,163 right now.
Okay. Okay. And Trey and I are in the ballpark 600 area because we did have decent. Jess, and we got some points, you know, for people on our winning team winning those challenges.
I had three criers last night.
Oh, wow.
Ben, Kenzie, and Tevin. I don't remember Tevin crying.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, what did Tevin cry? I don't know. He maybe did, though. There was a lot of tears.
There was.
Yeah.
Everybody was crying.
There's a lot of tears out there on the island.
It's like Nicolas Cage was out there.
So, well, JD, first off, do you want to make a second Soul Survivor pick? Because Trey has, remind me who you put?
Soda.
You have Soda.
Felt better about it after week one than week two.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah, you never know. It's a long game.
Yeah,
it's a long game,
I have Maria. Still feeling good about that, especially after that Charlie sort of sub-alliance. But JD, go ahead. I mean, yeah, Jess is gone. I mean, you're going to just, why don't you just go with the other Canadian?
Venus? Oh, God. She's too, what's the word? not polarizing. She's too she gets upset very easily. You know what I mean? Like too easily. Put me down for Hunter.
Wow.
Okay. Pretty low key guy. I think so far.
Very low key.
He seems to get along with people. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just doing his thing out there. So Hunter.
It's not too late to get into the Make Your Picks No Buffs Fantasy Survivor pool. I mean, you'll be playing from behind a little bit, but
so am I.
JD's barely ahead, so you're okay. So hit those links in the show notes. There's an Apple one for obviously the Apple app, and there's an Android app as well. The next week's episode is titled Wackadoodles Win. Okay.
Wow, shots fired.
Yeah, and here's what we know. Venus calls out Hunter, JD. She sees right through his sweet dude facade. That's what she said. Okay.
Wow.
We got a boat showing up.
A boat.
Is there a journey again? Sure. Is there something else?
Yeah, no journey this week.
No.
Could go back.
And Banu asks Kenzie for help and tells us she's like a mermaid dragon. What?
Yeah, you know, a half dragon, half mermaid.
This a thing?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, okay.
It's hard to picture, actually.
Yeah, you would think a dragon would want to stay far from the water.
Yeah.
So we're talking top is the dragon?
Has to be.
Has to be, right?
Dragon breathing fire.
Yeah.
Above water, but like incredible swimmer. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's all I got. So I don't know where you're going to go from that. As to who's going home, call your shot.
I'm still in spread the wealth mode here because it could be anybody. So I think I'm going to go Liz from Nami. Okay. I mean, Banu to me seems like probably the most on the outs from the purple Yanu tribe. As for green, I don't really know.
I got no clue on green.
Charlie and Maria are obviously top of
the
pops. You got
to pick one of the other four, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. We haven't seen... I mean, Ben is too good for vibes. I don't think they'll get rid of him right now.
Right.
Let me go Mariah, just because we haven't heard much of her. Yeah. That also makes me think she's probably safe.
I do think if you're picking from Sega, it's one of those three. It's Tim, it's Mariah, like you said, or it's Jem. I think Ben is here. He's going to be around for a while. And then Charlie and Maria, they seem to be running it, so...
Right.
Take your pick,
Jamie. I think Sieg is going to win again.
Mm. Well, they're good at finishing second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're due for a win.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Nami. And I think it's going to be... I think Soda might be in trouble.
Whoa. That would be...
Because if you got Venus, obviously, they're at loggerheads.
Yep.
She's got Randan in her court. I don't know.
We got an extra vote with Tevin.
Yes.
He does have that from the journey with Jelinski.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Maria both have extra votes. And obviously, Randan does not have his vote because he doesn't have the actual idol yet.
Right. He'll get it, though.
Could we see Nami throw a challenge? Would that be insane?
Why? As long as you don't win, as long as you're winning a challenge, you don't have to go to anyway. So it's sort of like...
Yeah.
This sort of like, I lost my vote until we lose a challenge, and then he's going to get a note and find...
Well, hold on.
I think it makes it so that you have to scramble that day.
Yeah.
Like,
I get that.
Otherwise, it was like you had more time to find it, but, I mean, they gave him the same challenge as they had in the first episode.
Yeah. Right. What? Okay. Hypothetical, though. Let's say we're not far from a tribe switch-up.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Could that guy be forced to be like...
Maybe.
Damn, I got to leave this island. Does that mean he still doesn't have a vote? That would be wild.
Possible.
But maybe.
If they don't lose.
But hence why he might be... Just maybe like, he asked that question to them and he's like, damn, we better lose. So I can get my vote, but more importantly, an idol.
Right.
Maybe.
And he'll say, Venus, let's throw this challenge. And she'll be like, okay, but nobody notices because...
she just like gets...
She's not doing much.
They just continually run her over. It's like, ow, my toe. Ow, my other toe. What are you doing? Move.
Oh, no.
Maybe they'll work together to throw it. So we will see. So, but you're liking someone from that tribe, and you're throwing out a Soda. Wow.
Well, I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think outside the box, you know, I'm so far behind, so I got to make some big moves here.
Well,
so,
you also just picked Hunter to win the game now, so see you later, Hunter.
Bye, Hunter.
It's all right, JD. I picked Sean as my winner pick last year, and he quit like two episodes.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's tough.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Especially when you do no research beforehand.
You think that helps?
Make it
come
tougher.
On. It only makes it worse.
Yeah, you're right. You're
it
totally
only
right.
makes it worse. Like, look at these things. Like, we're thinking, you know, this whole the next time on Survivor from last week is like, oh, Venus and Randon. Like, they're gonna really go head to head. In the end, they end up working
together.
Yeah.
They just trick us.
Yeah, that's true. Because last week, Soda was like, that Randon, I don't trust him at all. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, that Venus, I don't trust her at all. Like, all right.
Who knows? So get your votes in. Just don't forget. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
JD, especially you.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to play it a little dangerous because I want to like let it marinate. Last time I was like,
well, why, hold on. Ooh, baby. Hold on. Make your picks now.
Yeah.
Let
okay,
it marinate
yeah.
all you want. And then you can go and change it before yeah. Episode 3.
Good call. Good call.
That's the move. That's
yeah.
what I do.
Yeah.
I just try and lock them in so I don't forget
yeah.
right away. And then oh, maybe during the week, maybe you hear something. Maybe you have thought about something. Yeah, you switch it up. But anyway, get your votes in. Let's call it there. Another fun episode of Survivor. We're done with the 2 hours, though. Back to 90 minutes
Thank
from
God.
Here on
all
out
right,
because
baby.
The amazing race is back. Phil is back in our lives. The other Phil.
Phil never left my life.
That's true.
This Phil.
Yes, you deal with Phil every day. But the amazing Phil is back.
That's what he goes by. Huh?
And that other Phil that likes to eat food. That guy?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? He's got another show
Let's
coming.
Let's Feed Phil or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, that guy.
Phil Rosenthal?
Yeah,
that
I think
his
that
name?
Is his name.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
two and a half. Ray Romano's.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Raymond.
You ever
yeah.
watch that show?
The food show? No.
Yeah, he sort of creeps,
Somebody
he creeps me out.
Yeah.
He's got the wild, like stares through you energy and smiley energy all the time.
His voice is almost more cartoonish than Ray Romano in a way. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
There's Ray Romano's up here. And then he's way higher.
A lot of crazy Phils out there. You got to be careful. All right. Well, thanks for joining us here. Hit that like button, subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review, and share the show with your Survivor friends. We're back next week. Until then, the tribe has spoken.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.